Okay, and we're live. This is episode 39 of Gone Rogue, and we've got a four-way happening, which we've never done before, so it's going to be an experience. We have got April and Scott. Now, I have never met these guys in person. I met them online via Instagram because they run an online community called Naughty Gym, which is kind of awesome. It's basically this online fitness community that serves people that are in the lifestyle or in the, I guess, sex positive community. You might be able to put it that way, but just people that share similar values. And I love a lot of the posts that you guys put up where it's like, no, we're not naked, guys. No, we're not filming each other like doing sex or whatever. It's just fitness, for crying out loud. But yeah, it's just a community with people that have common values and common interests that are being served. It potentially, and I know that you guys are from Alabama, in a place that potentially you're ostracized a little bit if you are out with your lifestyle. So I think it's cool that you guys have created kind of a safe space for everybody. How long have you been doing that now?
We've been doing it right after COVID. So the middle September 2020 is when we started it. And it was kind of born out of COVID. We had to close our gyms down. So we had to pivot and learn how to coach online. But then we also had two gyms at the time and we didn't want to go back to working separate. And so we also didn't have a lot of time because we were working separately for like extracurricular activities. And so it was kind of born out of mixing two of our passions, fitness and just the desire to be open and free sexually. And it was Scott's idea, genius level.
Well, we had to learn to train people remotely. And we thought, well, maybe we could shut one of the gyms down and replace that income with the online income. And then we get to work each day together all day instead of working separately. Thankfully,
and it's all CrossFit, yeah.
It's kind of a mixture. I mean, the idea here is to make people look as good as possible, but without hurting. And so we minimize a lot of the higher skill CrossFit stuff. We don't do barbell snatches and handstand walks and muscle ups. We replace that with dumbbell snatches and things that are much easier for somebody to watch a little video and do safely.
Right.
But, that are still just as effective as getting people healthy and fit and that sort of thing. So, but there are CrossFit elements in there. We do a little functional bodybuilding, a little yoga, just a mixture of stuff.
How many people have you got in your community?
I think it's a little over 300 now. Yeah,
well, that's great.
That's really cool. So I think a lot of people will probably end up jumping online and having a look at your Instagram. And what they might find is that you guys have been hanging out in Jamaica at a little place called Hedonism, or like Hedo for short. We've had a couple phone calls, and one of the first things I asked you was like, oh my God, tell me what a lifestyle resort is like. Like, tell me all the juicy details. This is so, like, my mind was blowing. I'd never heard of it before. I think a lot of people are familiar with Hedonism. But yeah, it was like super intriguing to me. So there's some really cool stuff that you guys are doing and we're involved now, which I'm pumped about. So I want to like interrogate you a little bit about what it's like being at Hedonism. Cause how many trips have you guys done there now?
We've been there three times now.
Yeah. Okay.
Three times in the last 6 months.
But we've also been to other types of resort takeovers like that too. Yeah. Hedo's kind of the most iconic playground.
Yeah.
Hedo's been in like movies and things. Like, I think that's why it is a little bit mainstream, is like, it's this like resort where if something like that's pictured in a movie, that's typically where they film. I think that's where my first exposure was.
Oh yeah. There was a big movie.
Yeah. They actually filmed a movie on set there and used a lot of the actual staff and people that were there in the movie as movie characters.
So we're going to save the talking all the details of what it's like being at a lifestyle resort till the end of this episode. And we'll talk about this event that's coming in January next year. That if you want to come and hang out with April and Scott and Greg and I, we'll give you all the detail, all the gory, juicy details of that. So we're going to come back to that at the end. So this is just torture, teasing people with this information. So we'll give you some really cool stuff about Hedonism at the end. But I really wanted to talk to April and Scott about their relationship, because what they are starting to explore is dating separately, which is really, really awesome. But before we get to obviously where you are right now, can you tell us a little bit about your origin story? Like, what's the backstory? You guys have been together for like 7 years. How did you meet? What did it look like in the beginning? And, you know, why did you want to live this lifestyle? Like, why did you want to do things this way? I think a lot of people will be curious to know that.
Yeah. So we've been together for 7 years. Scott had a little bit of experience in his past. I didn't. I was pretty conservative in my previous marriage. But in my younger days, I was very sexual, very open, wanted to explore, but never really had the opportunity to do it the way I wanted to, mostly because of religion and then a marriage that was pretty conservative. And so when Scott and I met, it was just supposed to be about sex. It wasn't supposed to be anything else. that didn't last. But he brought up the idea of going to a place where we could just be naked. It was like a nudist resort. They had some swinging, but I wasn't really interested in that. I just wanted to see what it was like to be naked outside. And that's kind of where it started. It just opened my mind to different. I'm like, I didn't know this was possible. Like, this place is 3 hours from our house. These people have sex with other people. Like, how does this work? And so really it was just my curiosity. I kept like, what's next? Like, what else do they do? And how do they get along so well? And we communicated beautifully anyway. So it was kind of easy.
But it was slow for us. We felt like we had something special together, and you know, there's landmines in this type of lifestyle choice, but there are in monogamy as well. And so we wanted to take it really slow. So it was probably a process of 3 years or so from that very first trip to the time we ever experimented with sex with somebody else. Yeah. Now there were slow increments in there. You know, we were naked the first trip. We had sex in front of people the second trip, you know, things like that. But we were very careful, maybe overly so. Yeah. I don't know. It was a gradual process, and that has led us, you know, to where we are now.
Yeah, we had been in bad relationships before, and we were like, what we have is so good. We communicate so well. Will this ruin our relationship? And so I think that's why we went so slow at first, because we didn't know, and we didn't know anybody else around here to talk to and ask questions. And at that point, I hadn't really found podcasts, and so we were just kind of navigating it blindly. And then it was during COVID that I had time to really dig in and listen to some podcasts and kind of figure out that these are people that have really healthy relationships, and they communicate beautifully. They're successful people. And so I was like, I think this is what I want. And he was like, yeah, that's what I want too.
And so last night you talked about, there was a sort of period where you started to talk about doing full swap to start with. Was it a soft swap thing? And then you progressed to that? Like, what was that progression?
Yeah. So our first experience was me playing with another woman. I'd always wanted to, you know, experiment with women, but never really felt safe to. So we found a couple that, you know, we felt safe with. Then it was soft swap. And then
it was a couple, but we put the rule in place that the women could play, the guys could only touch their person.
We soft swapped for a couple of years before we ever decided to full swap. And then we did that for a couple of years too. And then the conversation happened at Hedo, actually, where we met a couple that we'd seen before and had a conversation about their separate dating. And I had told Scott a couple of years ago, if I ever come to you and say, I want a separate date, you should be worried. Because it means either I've emotionally disconnected from you or there's, you know, something's going on.
And so I was worried.
And so now obviously that's changed, right? From what, last night we listened to your latest video on YouTube. And so that's obviously shifted. So that's a bit of a change from, hey, something would be wrong. What changed?
Right. I think just having the freedom to expand and, you know, ask questions and figure out how this has worked for other couples and see couples who are navigating it so beautifully. And they, like Scott said, there's landmines, but they communicate through it. And we communicate so easily. And so I can say, this is what I'm afraid of, and be transparent with him and say, you know, this is what makes me feel insecure, or this is what makes me feel jealous. And he gives me the space to feel it and tries to make me feel secure. And so we had this conversation with this couple. We're walking away, and I immediately said, I think I want to try separate dating.
And I immediately started flop sweating.
In our full swap, well, let me go back a little bit, because I had kind of put a halt on our play for the year previous to that conversation, because we were getting, I'm a people pleaser, and we were getting into full swap situations that I should have said no to, but I didn't. And I was coming away feeling unfulfilled. And so I came to him. I'm like, I think I just want to take a break from play. I want to figure out why I'm feeling these feelings and figure out what it is I exactly want out of these relationships or these connections. And he was like, all right, let's do it. You know, let's figure this out. And when we had that conversation with that couple, I'm like, I think this is what it is. He moves a little bit faster than I do. As far as connections, he can go deep a lot faster than I can. And so sometimes I felt like I was just along for the ride and trying to play catch up. And so I think the separate dating may allow me to kind of take my time and be in the driver's seat and take the connection at the pace that I want it to be. So we'll see.
But what's been interesting with her taking her own pace since we launched our little profile, separate profiles on these dating sites 5 days ago or whatever it was, right after we released that YouTube video, she's been inundated with, you know, friend requests and offers from guys. And she's, within the first 3 hours, she was in 11 text message conversations, 11 different guys that she was in messages with. And I was in a few, but nowhere near what she was in. And mine were all fairly vanilla conversations, but hers turned incredibly triple X instantly. Even though she says she wants to take it at her own pace, when she's in the driver's seat, it was pedal to the metal, and it sounded like porn on her conversation.
It's really funny, like hearing you guys talk about dating together and dating separately. Dating together has been one of the hardest things for Greg and I, because matching with people that we're both on board with, it's a challenge. And like, I can fully understand how you'd be in positions where just to get something to happen, you'd potentially have to compromise on some of your needs or desires. And it's like, it probably happens for me in a sex club environment where I'm like, look, I want to connect with people. And it's not that I don't care, but I get more like, whatever, let's just do this. And I'm a yes person for the night, and I'm just going to be a full-blown slut, and that's what I want to experience. And it's cool. Yeah. But I think, you know, in our private life, when we've been dating together, it's like trying to meet couples that we're aligned with, it's so much harder than dating separately. And so I think it's almost like it's just logistics for us. Dating separately has always been much easier and straightforward, because it is one or two less people that you're trying to coordinate with and trying to make sure that there's some kind of a connection with, I guess. So yeah, it's really funny to hear you guys go from dating together to dating separately, because we've gone from mostly dating separately to trying to push more for dating together, because it's easy to, at least I feel like, where I'm like, dating together is too hard. I'm just going to go find guys on my own, like whatever. But that's so interesting.
Well, we've made some amazing connections with some of our full swaps. I mean, we have some of the best friends in our lives right now because of that. Some we play with, some we don't. We never would have met them and connected with them had we not been in that world.
And people talk about all the time that, you know, in these couple scenarios where it's going to be an attempted foursome, a full swap, that, hey, we don't take one for the team. And I understand that sentiment, you know, that like if one of you likes the one partner, but the other one's not into the other one, you just call it off. But I really feel like that in most of these situations, somebody's always taking one for the team to some degree, because it's just unrealistic to think that person A from this partnership and person A from this partnership are clicking at 100%. And so are the other two. it might be 80% and they're okay with that, but there's a little bit of sacrifice that happens in these foursomes, in that you don't necessarily have to have that kind of dynamic when you're dating separately. Now, we may find out after our dates this next Friday night that we will never do this again because we hate it. But right now it's been fun and we've enjoyed the process. But we do have dates lined up next Friday night, a week from tonight.
But before we go on that, I think that's one of the interesting things of having the optionality between playing together and playing separately, or, you know, meeting people separately, is there's people that I've definitely said to Kate, like, hey, what do you think of this girl? And she's like, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm like, cool, like, I'll just see them to, like, on my own. And I think that gives that piece where it's like, she doesn't feel obliged to be like, well, like, I have to get involved. It's like, look, if you're not feeling it, if you're not, you know, at the same level of interest in me, I can just pursue it on my own. So I think that ability to do both. So for you guys, are you still planning on playing together or seeing people together? Or is it now you're just going to sort of pursue separately? No,
we're just going to be open to whatever.
Yes.
We're just opening that avenue now.
Yeah, but the thing about the separate dating is that it probably takes pressure off of us when it comes to playing together. Because sometimes you get, like, say you go to a resort, you spend a week, and you really feel like, hey, we're here. I want to make a connection with a couple and make this happen. And you can find yourself forcing a situation. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing this separate stuff from time to time, you know, maybe we won't feel so rushed to try to force things to happen with couples that maybe we're not really matched up with. But we'll see.
And so before we move to Friday night, because I think that'll be good to jump into, how long ago did you, 5-6 days ago, I think it was, you decided this?
Yeah, last video.
We watched your video last night. Has anything, and I think you said that was a pretty raw, like that was your first conversation then. Has anything shifted from then to now far as how you're approaching that? Because we can maybe talk about like some of the rules you guys had in place. And there was a bit of a list. I was trying to keep track in my head, but by the end of it, I lost track of it. What's changed in between now and then?
Yeah. So we quickly realized that, you know, we set up the dating profiles. There are a lot of hot wives. There's not a lot of hot husbands. And we had said we weren't going to date single people.
Hold on. Let me say that for anybody that doesn't know that technical term, hot wife is typically a married couple where the husband likes the idea of his wife maybe going out on a date with another man and then coming back and reporting to him how it went. And then they kind of have sex, you know, talking about the night. So the husband is giving his wife away for the night, and the hot husband would be the opposite,
right?
But that just doesn't happen very much.
Yeah. So I was getting a lot of responses from single males. He was already in a couple conversations with some women, and I'm like, what the heck? And so there's another dating app that's local.
You've got separate profiles on your dating apps now, right? Or are you?
Right. So it's a separate profile, but you can connect it to your partner.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Right? But it's just solo chatting. So, and we had also agreed we wouldn't solo chat. We would be in a group chat, right?
That was what we were wondering. I was listening. I was like, oh, wow.
So day two, I start chatting with some single guys.
No, day one.
Maybe before we talk about this process that you've gone through, because we're kind of getting into what's changed, maybe we do need to outline what you'd agreed on in that first video. Okay, because here's some of the things I remember. You guys agreed that all conversations would be in a group format. So while the third party, as in like if it was April connecting with a guy, Scott wouldn't necessarily be contributing to the conversation, but he would have full access and for full transparency, right? And then you also agreed that you would not see anyone that you currently know. Mm-hmm. They would have to be non-monogamous and in a relationship. The partner would have to agree to it, and that would have to be discussed like prior to meeting. No. What was some of the other ones?
Not in your hometown or near your hometown.
Yeah.
Were there some other ones?
Yeah, there were going to be
no single males.
Yeah, no single.
Oh, yeah, no single guys.
And then we wanted them ideally to be on the same night, the dates.
That was like a one weekend block where you're like, okay, this is the weekend, the same night. We're going to go on a date. We're going to curbside service. I remember that. No pickups from the house.
Oh, yeah.
The same weekend one was a straightaway. I'm like, oh, they don't realize how difficult this is to align. So many people cancel last minute as well. It's like, I'm like, you know, you organize something for Saturday night, Scott organizes something for Sunday. It's like, that it's, I probably have like two or three cancellations to every date that goes ahead.
Oh, gosh.
So like, that'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I had two dates lined up this week, both of them canceled.
So I may just have a few lined up, and then if they all show up, it's just going to be.
that's Greg's trick. He's got like three people kind of ready to go, and I'm like, man, how do you do this?
Yeah, that was her original idea, was to take those first 11 guys that she was in those conversations with in the first 3 hours and just have them all show up like a bachelor, bachelorette show.
Yeah.
She dated them all for like an hour. She figures out which one gets the rose.
Yeah, there. I was weeding guys out. I mean, there was a lot of cringy stuff and a lot of, you know, some married guys who their wife didn't know. And I'm like, nope, you know, gotta go. Yeah. So we had a lot of rules. So day one, we had a discussion. I'm like, we're gonna have to open this up to single guys. And then
that's when the floodgates open. When she opened to the single guy.
Yeah, then I was like,
the pool of guys is huge. The pool of women is small.
Yeah. I feel like the pool of women is more quality.
Yes, exactly that. But I date probably slightly less than Greg. It usually balances out, but he seems to get filtered through, you know, I get a lot of the fuck boys, the guys that are like, oh, sweet, she just wants to fuck, or she just wants to, like, she's going to be an easy lay, or like even the bulls. The guys that think that they're going to be bulls, like, you just get trash, much trash. Yeah. Whereas Greg's got a small pool, but they're like very interested and intrigued and curious and open. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I always.
That's why my conversations are going different than his, because these guys are asking me what my favorite sexual position is. He's asking them what their favorite book is. And I'm
I totally get that. I always sort of describe it as that initial filter of like the people that swipe on me, or, you know, some people will swipe and then realize my situation because I'm very upfront about it. But the emotional filter of someone opting into being involved with someone that's in a relationship, I think that filters a lot of women out straight away.
Yeah.
Whereas I think, yeah, Kate gets those people that are like, oh, okay, single dude, whatever, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's really surprising to me how much none of them ask her even about our relationship. Like, she'll be like, have you got any questions? They're like, nah. It's like, but then women that I talk to have, they want to know everything, like how it works, how you communicate, what, like how am I involved in that way? Like, they ask so many questions, whereas for Kate, it's like she rarely gets a question on us.
It's almost a red flag. Like, if I'm like, hey, what would you like to know? Have you ever had experience with non-monogamy? Have you hooked up with someone? And they're like, no, I don't really know much about it. Like, I don't really, it's whatever to me. And I'm like, it's kind of a, okay, cool. I'm going to filter you out. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of an advantage starting this separate dating thing after 7 years of being in a lifestyle, because while we've never separate dated, we've had hundreds of these conversations with potential play partners. And so we've learned, you know, some tips and tricks to kind of start filtering through that process. And you're right. If somebody doesn't have any experience and they just think, oh, this is going to be easy, here's a hot piece of ass and I'm fixing to go have sex with them. Well, if it's a guy, they're going to find out it may not be as easy to get an erection in this situation as you think. If it's a lady, she might be much more nervous than she thinks. It's not an easy path, given the culture that we've all grown up, this monogamy-dominated culture.
Yeah.
And when you start trying to get outside of it, you realize how affected we are by that dominant paradigm.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was very
So where are you guys at then? You're in chat separately now. You've included singles. What other things have kind of
come on my chat?
You've also got a date plan, so you've both aligned two people now. So
I've already had a pre-date date.
And we
you guys weren't going to do that either. Oh my gosh. All the rules just
I'm a rule breaker.
And we've also had, just prior to this getting in here for this podcast, we had a little threesome date.
With another
male. Preliminary kind of date.
Yeah. So yesterday I was talking to one of my friends who does hot wifing, and she said, you don't do a pre-date date. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. She said, well, hook up at a coffee shop, have a coffee, 15 minutes to an hour. You can chat to make sure that, number one, he's who he says he is, looks the way he is. That's his picture. But also, if you don't have the chemistry, you don't want him wasting money on a hotel and, you know, and then it's a no. And so I'm like, that's a great idea. And so
She asked me.
I come into the office that morning. I'm like, what do you think about me going on a date this afternoon? He was like,
And she told me what it was. And I thought, you know, that's a good idea. This increases the safety level of, you know, meeting this guy that we don't even really know. And I was good with it until it happened. Now, look, we've been in this for a long time, 7+ years, lots of experiences with a lot of different things. And I've never come close to struggling with anything like I did that simple coffee date without me yesterday.
Without you, you didn't go to the coffee date? Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't have anything to do with it. And I've never been the jealous. I mean, like, you know, in our most extreme play situations, you know, I've always had fun with it, but this was a simple coffee date and I knew there was nothing that could happen because she had an appointment right after the coffee date. And then she had to come back here to coach a class. So I knew it was an hour at most. And my stomach was in knots the whole time. And I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it was, other than the fact it was just something new and we'd never done anything separately before. So I took 9 pickleballs in my pickleball paddle and went to the courts and just stood out there and practiced serving for 2 hours by myself, trying to distract myself.
Yeah, the beautiful thing about Scott, though, is he is really good at handling discomfort, and he actually will lean into it, and he doesn't like to feel it. So he's always like, I don't know why I'm feeling this, but I need to do the mental gymnastics to get over it. I don't know if it's social pressure. I don't know if it's the way I was raised. I don't know why I'm feeling this. I don't want to feel it. I'm the opposite. I'm like, this is uncomfortable. Stop it. Like, I don't want to feel this anymore. Make it stop. So he handled it really well.
How did it go?
It went good. He was a nice guy. We have a date next Friday.
She kissed him.
Just a little. Just a brief little peck.
Okay. So did you have a whole lot of like text check-ins throughout the date? Or did you guys go like, hey, I'm going to go on this date. I'll be back. I still love you. It's going to be all right. What did you decide in terms of like, obviously the preliminary date's a little bit different, but.
Yeah. I sent her during this coffee date one check-in text. I said, how's it going? Never got a response. So. I guess it was going
well. Trying to get replies when your partner's on a date.
I was trying to be present. Yeah, so that's another reason why I wanted to do these solo dates is when we're on these, you know, group dates, I have a hard time being present because I'm focused on making sure everyone else is having a good time, making sure the other woman is emotionally okay, that she's not getting her feelings hurt, that not, you know, one man isn't paying more attention to me than her. And so I have such a hard time engaging with my partner. And so that's one of the reasons I want to do this is I want to be super present and in the moment and just not worried about anybody else. So I didn't answer his text.
So you on the video watch last night, you guys both talked through like your concerns and things about separate dating. You mentioned before about the security element and also or April's safety. Is that something that is coming up a fair bit for you in this, like now dating separately? Because that's for me been surprisingly one of the biggest things that I actually worry about. And that completely has surprised me that as something that would be a big concern.
Not really. And it probably should. And maybe somewhere in the middle of how you and I are handling it might be a better. But I wasn't overly concerned. I mean, you know, look, she can probably handle herself with most men. She's a pretty strong woman.
Yeah.
There had been so much conversation. We had so much detail about this guy and his life. And you know, I had her phone tracker on. You know, is there an element of risk? Yes. That they were meeting at a public Starbucks, though. That one didn't concern me. Now, you know, the next date would be more concerning, except the fact that she's met him already. And I've had actually a phone conversation with him. So,
okay.
Now, I can imagine a scenario where she goes, hey, I've connected with this guy and I want to go out with him. But maybe the extenuating circumstances are different. I can imagine myself feeling some of those safety concerns, but not about this one.
Yeah, maybe not so much the coffee dates. I've definitely experienced with Kate where, you know, she's been chatting to a guy. There was one example which was like they were just chatting on Snapchat, didn't have social media. I heard you guys say that was sort of a prerequisite for you as well. This guy didn't have any social media. And she's like, hey, I'm going to meet this guy out for a drink and then go back to his house. And I'm like, okay, like, and that's like, it, I was the same. I was like really worried. I'm like, oh God, what if something happens? Like that, it's that stuff. If she's going to someone's house that I have no idea who they are, all I know is a first name kind of thing. So that was definitely something we had to work through a little bit over the first kind of set of dates. And we made some small changes. Now she usually will give me a name and just the address of the house if she's going to the house. And at least I think that gives me some kind of security of like, I know where she is if I need to get there for some reason. Right.
That's smart. Yeah. Or maybe we need to put more safety measures in place.
Yeah,
probably. Because one of the things we talked about with that is like, you know, because of this lifestyle, if you are, if it is a little bit undercover and it's not something you're telling all your friends about, it sounds like you've got friends in the lifestyle, but I know for Kate, it was that her seeing someone that wasn't something that she was telling her friends about, like, oh, hey, I'm going to see it. Like, and I know from experience as a guy, quite often if you meet up with a girl for a hookup, she's told her best friends,
right,
hey, this is who I'm seeing, this is his address. And it's like, I kind of knew that she wasn't doing that with anyone because like in our initial stages. So yeah, that was what it brought up for me a little bit.
Well, yeah. And April's a little bit more private about this stuff than me. I would put it on a, you know, put it on a billboard and say, hey, Scott's going on a date with another girl.
And here's her address.
Yeah. So she's a little more private about it. So it would feel more comfortable if everybody knew everything she was doing, but then it's also not a private matter anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just tricky waters to navigate. And why we feel like it's important to talk about these things in the open is to make it more mainstream, teach people how to handle these situations better, safely, not make it so taboo. Because the more underground it is, like you pointed out, the more it elevates the risk.
Mm.
Yeah.
For sure. So then April's got a date on Friday. Scott, status update?
Yep, I have one too. Mine hasn't been as chatty nor as pornographic yet. I've got a date. She seemed like a fantastic person. I actually messaged initially with her husband.
I'm also messaging with her husband.
Yeah, she's interfering with every single one of my. I messaged with him for probably a day and a half before I ever talked to her. And that's probably part of his vetting process too. She and I started having a conversation. We set up a date and we managed to pull off that one rule where we're dating on the same night. So it's next Friday night. And the plan will be we're going to come home together from those dates. And we're both going to be potentially, because we mentioned this on the podcast or the YouTube show, that sex is on the table if there's a connection. That doesn't mean we're committing to it, but it's an option. And so there's going to be two separate hotel rooms. I'll have one for my date if we end up there, and her date will have one as well. But then we're going home together. And we've agreed to not talk at all about what happened until the next morning when we wake up, put the lights, take a shower, put the lights on, turn the camera on, and we're just going to start talking on camera and just see what happens.
Or throwing hands,
yes.
One or the other.
Or you end up sleeping in separate bedrooms. And
I think it will go well. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I was more nervous, I think, about this process than her. The last 5 or 6 days have been incredibly fun. To watch her. So when we launched those dating apps or dating accounts on Saturday afternoon around lunch, the next 48 hours, she bounced around that house like a 16-year-old high school girl on her first prom date. I mean, she was just, she looked lighter and happier. And that was a huge, for a guy to see that in his wife is a fantastic feeling, because I know it's not because she feels like she's not getting something from me. It's just, it's a gift. And I think maybe one of you mentioned, or somebody was mentioning this, I heard the other day, it's a gift that I can give that most men don't have the power to give, don't have the emotional courage to give. And to see you receive it like that and get so happy, we had a fun weekend. But it's been fun for the last 5 days with some surprises too.
It's a real ego boost. Like, I know that it's, you know, it's somewhat superficial, and I like to believe that I don't need this external validation, but man, it is nice. Like, it is nice to know that you're desired and that you're wanted. And I think, you know, I read people's stories about their dead bedroom or their relationship that they're struggling with. And I'm like, I know that non-monogamy isn't for everyone, but man, when you experience somehow come into the knowledge that people want you and that you're desirable and you're still sexual, it just changes, like you said with April, like it just changes how you feel about yourself. And we're all kind of victims of like being, I guess, moldable by other people's opinions to a degree. And I know that I feel really good when I have someone who wants to go on a date with me and wants to bang my brains out. I'm like, yes. And I know Greg feels really good. Like, and it's almost like Greg's explained it, and he'll probably do a better job of explaining it now. But when I give him compliments or I tell him nice things or the things that I love about him, he's like, well, you're fucking biased. And I do the same thing with him. Yeah. But when he's has all that information confirmed by someone else external to us, he's like, God, she's right. Like, this is true. And I know it's not her just bullshitting me, like, and being nice and you know, whatever it is. And it's the same thing. Now, the flip side of that I've experienced is if he's getting more dates than me, or I feel like he's connecting more to other people, I start to like get into this scarcity mindset of like, oh, I need to as well. Like, oh no, this is bad. And like, I'm not as wanted. And I think Scott, you mentioned it on the YouTube, it's FOMO. And so I experience it as envy, which is a little bit different to jealousy. I experience it as he's got something that I don't have and I want that thing. Whereas jealousy is, you know, you're afraid of somebody taking something that you have away from you. It's like a fear of loss almost. Oh, that's and good. So the envy is the FOMO. And I'm like, I want to go on dates. Like, why can't I get dates? Why does he get them? Like, this isn't fair. Like, am I not good enough? Like, so I have this like flip side of that. When you do have a date, you're like, I feel awesome. And then if I'm not getting dates, I have to really work on making sure that I know that I'm, you know, enough and that I have worth and that I'm valuable as a partner to Greg and valuable as just who I am on my own, like my own as an individual. But it's a super interesting experience to have those like kind of highs and lows of self-confidence come with dating. It's super intriguing.
I can see, because it's been a while, I mean, since we've just dated, right? And so that affirmation feels good. But I can see on the flip side, because I know how dark my internal dialogue can become when I feel like I'm like getting picked last or, you know, something like that. So I can see having to get in a good headspace. Like, this is what it's about. Like, he still desires me and wants me and is affirming me.
Yeah. And it's easy for when you're the one getting the date and the other partner isn't, it's easy for you as the person in the catbird seat then to go, well, look, relax, you'll get a date. This doesn't mean anything. And it's so easy emotionally when you're coming from that vantage point. And you can rationalize, you can even tell yourself in that moment that, okay, but one of these days the tables are going to be turned and I'm going to remember this and I'm going to feel okay with it because I remember what I told my partner. But then when the tables are turned, it's just brutally difficult to deal with, no matter how rational you think.
Greg's like, it's okay. Like, you're still beautiful. I'm like, fuck right off. Go away. Like, absolutely not. You with all your dates and all your pussy, like, get out of here. Like, I'm just like, no, I can't tolerate it. It's almost worse if it comes from him.
Yeah. Well, look, the first 3 hours that she got those 11 guys texting her and messaging her, I launched my account at the exact same time. You know how many I was talking to? Zero.
And I was doing that. I'm like, it's okay, babe. Just give it some time. Go back to another dating site where they
you
were talking
to be patient. To you. You're not doing it well enough. God.
She had the audacity to have all of her volume on her notifications on, so her phone just going.
She starts coaching you, turns up the volume.
Like a Las Vegas casino in our bedroom.
But I also would go, would you respond to this guy?
I've got too many. Can you help me, please?
Yeah. So you don't look busy, Scott. Can you help me with some of my messages?
I'm sorry.
So we've got the date set up. We have them on the same night, so that's good. We've sort of gone away from the all our messages are in a group message. Some are, some aren't. Kind of depends on how far they've advanced. We've also sort of tentatively dropped. The idea was we're going to have one date each, and then we're going to reassess. And that's really still on the table. Yeah. But we did have a conversation this morning that we've had so much fun with this process over the past 5 days that we both kind of tentatively looked at each other like, do you think we're going to want to continue this? And we're like, yeah, probably so. Yeah. So that may end up falling away as well. We may continue to do this. One of the things that has happened, though, we've gotten proposals for multiple variations of different, like, threesomes and stuff that we didn't expect. So we did have a kind of a preliminary coffee date with a third or another guy today. And then we've actually been messaging with another guy. And that one seems to have progressed. That one has gone the way of April's erotic XXX messaging type conversation. So that one's probably going to happen at some point as well, too. So it's just been fun.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys have done much? Have you done much like threesome play, or has it generally been couple swaps?
We've done threesomes with women. We've never done with a male.
Yeah.
And not that we haven't wanted to, it's just the situation.
And I think with your rules, like some of those things you put in place, I know for me, there's probably been two scenarios I can remember. Like, I think we've been pretty open as far as like our rules and things we put in place. And our scenario is obviously very different. We started out dating openly. So that's really different, I'm sure, from like starting established and then sort of dropping the walls around that.
Yeah.
And I still remember the two times that I've almost like reactionary wanted to put a rule in place. And then sort of going, hang on, like, why am I doing that? Like, do you feel like you've done that process in some of those things that you initially said, put these things in place? Have you ended up sort of talking more about, like, hang on, like, why is that in place?
That the group chat one was a big one. We had a few-hour discussion about, like, do we need to keep this in group chat? Why are we doing group chat? What is upsetting us about not doing, you know? So, and then we came to the conclusion. I don't think we came to a conclusion. We were just like, let's just see what happens.
Part of the issue, and you correct, I'm really speaking for you here, but one of the reasons we want to do solo dating is because she doesn't enjoy as much watching me have sex with another woman as I do watching her with another guy. So, and she certainly doesn't enjoy the part that I like the most, which is the flirting and the buildup and the touching and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so in these group chats, my concern has been that if the language gets super flirty, like hers has, that is going to really trigger her watching me be that way, you know, through messaging. So it didn't, I kind of like the not completely transparent text. We can always grab each other's phones and we know each other's account passwords and we can log in if we really needed to see. But to have the message just ding straight in on your phone, like a text message, that part I haven't loved, but, you know, it keeps us honest.
But we've both pulled out of each other's chats a little bit, too. Yeah.
That insecurity, I think, is evolving to some degree.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you want to do something within the relationship, like play with other people, go to a sex club, open up, date separately. I think it's easy to come together and be like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? And the conversation turns into what are the rules? Like what are the boundaries for us? And how can we do this in a way that we both feel good and feel safe? But I think accidentally it can often become this negotiation process of, it's almost like, I think you said it, it's like, it's a renovation and it's literally you're renovating the relationship and you go, should we put a bath in that second bathroom? And it's like, yes, I want a bath. Okay, cool. We'll do a bath. Should we do black faucets? No, I don't like black. Let's do brass. Okay, we'll do brass. And it's almost like this, it's like, it's a deal. It's a business deal. Yeah. And so you have your non-negotiables, you have your deal breakers, you have the things that you both want. And then there are some things that you don't agree with. And so you find some kind of compromise. But what incidentally happens is there's no further investigation or examination of like, but why? But why the black? Why the brass? Like, why not the thing? What are you afraid of happening? What is the fear? What is the insecurity? And I think it's probably what I feel is, you know, I'm on Reddit a lot lately. Like Reddit's become my new favorite place to read about non-monogamy or relationships or polyamory and all those kinds of things. And you see the process happening where it's like it's started as this renovation and then it's like the first comment on everybody's post about like, oh, what do I do? This is the situation we're in, is you guys had too many rules and it was inevitable that it was going to at some point be challenged. And you've almost set yourself up in this position where you put in a lot of agreements and it was so hard to adhere to that the problems are not actually in the relationship. The problems are that it is impossible to meet the agreement. Yeah, and right. So you're not having problems. Like, that's the thing that comes up. It's like, this isn't an issue. The issue is that there was a rule made about it and there was a boundary put in place that was not flexible. It was too rigid. It was stuck in someone's insecurity or stuck in someone's, like right. Greg said, knee-jerk reaction about a fear, which, man, I've had so many of those where I'm like, hey, let's do it this way from now on. Hey, we should definitely do this. And it's like, hang on, like I can hear myself speaking out of this place of like, I didn't like that feeling and I don't want it to come back again. Let's please not do it that way. Yeah. And it's just forced us to go whenever that comes up. And Greg's been really, really good with this. If I or him have this reaction to something and we're like, maybe we should try it like this from now on. And it sounds innocent enough, but it's often really us enforcing this new rule. And we go, hang on, no. When it comes up, let's just discuss it. When that thing comes, so sleepovers was one of those things for us. Greg was like, I don't really feel comfortable with sleepovers. And I was like, oh, sleepovers are, they're a non thing to me. Like sleepovers are just a convenience thing. It doesn't make sense. There's nothing intimate to me about sleepovers. In fact, that you probably get your worst sleep. It's not like, to me, I'm like a whatever thing, but Greg, a totally different experience with it. So initially we were like, well, no sleepovers then. And then it was like, hang on, pump the brakes a little bit. One, we'd only been just gotten together. So sleepovers probably weren't going to happen tomorrow night. It was like, we're probably going to start chatting to someone, dating, maybe hook up. Sleepovers are going to come down the track. So let's not make a rule about it when we haven't even experienced that journey yet. Let's figure it out. So in terms of like the process of, I guess the question that I'm trying to get to here is, in terms of when you guys examine this stuff, I know that you guys are probably super familiar with the insecurities and the fears that come up. How many things do you feel like you're putting into place because of one of those insecurities or like one of the fears? Like, have you connected all the dots on them?
Yeah.
Well, I think every rule probably is coming from a sense of some sort of insecurity. When it comes to monogamy, culture has built in the boundaries for us. We all have a sense of what type of boundaries are expected in a monogamous relationship. We grow up with them. It's the culture we live in. And so they almost go unspoken. And I think sometimes that may be why monogamous relationships on average don't communicate as well as non-monogamous, because they don't have to, or at least they don't think they have to.
Nailed it, yeah.
And so in non-monogamy, you're starting over. Like you said, it's a renovation. You're breaking down the old and trying to figure out, well, what's it going to look like now? And for your own comfort and safety, because now you're treading into this new world, you have to put some guardrails in place in order to feel comfortable enough to drive down that road a little bit. But you have to do that, and I think this is what you were saying, you have to do that from a foundation of a solid relationship that will allow you to change going forward. You're going to mess up. You're going to violate these rules. You can try to make them as clear-cut as you want, but you can't put a rule in place for every scenario you're going to encounter. And you got to hope that in good faith, you both try to do the best you can. And then when those things come up, you then sit back and then reevaluate and say, is that really an issue that we are struggling with now that we've been in this a while? If not, let's do away with that barrier and see what happens.
Well, and the group chat was totally 100% born out of my insecurity. Mm. It would have no rules at all.
For anyone not watching, I just took the biggest sip of the drink.
Sorry. But it was. And so then when we got on the app that didn't have group chat, in my head, without communicating to him, I thought, well, if it starts going down the road for a group date, we'll move to this other chat app and we'll do a group chat then. Well, then the next day I asked him, he was chatting with a girl, I said, are we going to move to a group chat? And he was like, we've been solo chatting for a day and a half with all these guys. Like,
yeah, you've been chatting with half the internet for the last 48 hours. And why am I going to go to a group chat?
Yeah. And so I had to do the, okay, why am I feeling this? What is this rooted in? And does it make sense? And it didn't make sense. And so we were able to work through that. But you're right. Those rules are typically rooted in some type of, I want to hold on to this because it's mine and it makes me feel bad to let it go. And I don't own him.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think rules are a bad thing. I think they are potentially, you can look at them as training wheels. You know, you have to have those in place because you can't ride the bike very well at first. But then eventually you can start taking some of those safety precautions off once you feel comfortable with the direction that, you know, that you're going. And that's the way it's happened with us. It's just been a fairly slow process.
I really like the discussion around the framing between rules versus boundaries and agreements. I think that the framing around that really helps because it's like, you know, if you're saying, hey, this is a personal boundary of mine, you've already said that, you know, you both have different styles in how you like to connect with people and talk to people. And I always, just really like that where it's like, I don't think we've had many rules. We've talked about some personal boundaries and agreements that we have on how we'll do things. And I think that's what's made it easier then to sort of navigate as they shift. They feel more malleable and like they can change versus saying, well, this is a rule. Like, this is a thing, because what rules are a thing that are meant to be set in stone rather than something that can change and mold over time. So yeah, I always find that's like quite a good thing to go, you know, if you go, oh, I need this as a rule, to be like, hey, is that actually a boundary? Is it just an agreement you've got in place? And like you say, Scott, because they will change and they will evolve over time, you know, as everything in the relationship does, really. So,
yeah, I think actually hearing you guys talk about it now versus listening to the YouTube, what we were listening going, oh man, if these rules all get broken because it's really hard to adhere to them, are we going to see another video in 6 months being like, oh, we didn't like dating solo? I was like, oh no, like I would hate that experience to be caused by having too much rigidity around it. But listening to you, you guys are all like, well, that didn't work. Okay, what do we do now about it? There's not like a reaction to it. And I think that that's probably what is so beautiful about the communication that you've established over 7 years, is that the way that you're approaching it is super flexible. And if a rule is broken, it's like, hey, it doesn't mean that it's a break in our trust. It's right. Not a break in the foundation of the relationship. It's just like, this was a structure and we need to move it. It's not in the right position. Right. So I think that that's what seems to really work. And I don't know if you guys would agree with me. This is just my interpretation of, you know, listening to you for 2 hours, 1 hour last night and 1 hour now. But yeah, I think when we think about our rules versus our boundaries or agreements or preferences, the rules are the inflexible things. So it's like our only real rule is condoms. That's and transparency. Like those two things. Like we talk about anything and you can ask any questions. And then we always use condoms with other people. And then the agreements and the preferences and the boundaries that we have individually as well as within the relationship are the things that are constantly being updated and constantly being discussed and revised. And, you know, you guys will have your debrief after your date on Friday, but that debrief for us has changed so much. How much information we want, how much we need, what the purpose of getting all the information is, how we need to reconnect. Is it the night of, is it the day after? What experiences have we had? And it's like, that thing is a roller coaster ride, at least for me. And I know that it's been really helpful being able to almost like test and trial different ways of doing it rather than being like, well, at this time, like in the debrief, you need to tell me exactly what happened at what stage. And, you know, like it's just like it has to be flexible.
Right.
Yeah. Do you, Kate, want to hear all the details of his dates because you like to hear the details, or you want to hear them to make sure that...
Or do you want to hear them at all?
Yeah. Or like, because she doesn't really want to hear.
Yeah. If you spoke to me 2 years ago, I 100% wanted to hear because I wanted to know if she was hotter than me, better than me, smarter than me, like had longer hair than me. I'm like, oh. So it's like total comparison. I wanted to see her Instagram profile and I've accidentally followed people.
I remember listening to that.
Oh man, that was bad. It's like, it taught me the biggest lesson. I'm like, don't pry, don't go pry. It'll go wrong. You'll get caught out. And I found that I was very much intrigued by what is she like relative to me? What is she offering? What's different? And the reality is that it will always be someone different to me and he will always get something that's novel that I can't offer him. And that's the whole point of doing it. Right. And as hard as that is, it's the gift that we were talking about. It's the gift that we get to give each other. Right. And I just have to not suck it up, but there are a lot of things that I'm learning to process internally now. Yeah. However, more recently, it has changed. Sorry, let me finish this last bit. And I have had more experiences where I'm like, oh, I think that's turning me on a little bit. Like, oh God, okay, here we are. Like, because you know, the experience of feeling nervous and anxious about something is a very similar physical sensation to the experience of being excited and having butterflies. And I think that you can spin it almost either way, totally depending on your perception of it. And so I've had a lot of really safe experiences with Greg, with other people, specifically women, where I'm like, no, this is fucking hot. This is amazing. Like, I'm really into this. This is doing it for me. Whereas, like, you know, when we got together, it would have been the opposite. I was often shutting down. I would get really scared and I would have some really hard moments and have had to work through that. But you end up with, you know, we've got 2.5 years now of evidence that we're still good. We're going to be okay. And so now I can really lean on that evidence. And I think that's part of the journey. You just have to get more and more experience to feel more and more secure with each risk that you take. But yeah, sorry, Scott, go ahead.
Well, you said something I think is really important. You mentioned in the middle of that there are things that other women can give him that you can't. And that could be in any form. That could be physical, emotional. It can come in a wide range of packages. I think that's critically important to accept that in order to be successful with a lifestyle of consensual non-monogamy. But I also think that it's probably the most difficult thing for people to accept. If you're looking at this as a monogamous person looking on at consensual non-monogamy, yeah, to hear somebody like us say that, it's probably going to be incredibly difficult to think, because we live in this make-believe world of my spouse is my one and only and fulfills all of my needs, and I don't need anything else. Yeah, okay, well, that's fine, but
but have you tried this?
Yeah, that's right.
I went on a date with someone recently, and it was not a date. She made it really clear that she wasn't interested in me because of our situation, but we got along really well, and she's like, look, I'd be happy to grab a coffee. We can just have a chat. And she's someone I actually sort of knew from Instagram from our town for a long time. So we met up and we were chatting, and I was asking her about monogamy and her dating, and I said to her, like, do you believe that you can, you know, have someone that is your everything, that fills all of your needs and desires for your whole life? And she's like, no, I don't. I'm like, okay, but you strictly only believe in monogamy. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, can you explain how you reconcile those two things? And she's like, no, I can't. She's like, so she was kind of battling internally with the fact she knew that she would not be able to find someone that neither of them would be able to ultimately, you know, be successful long-term monogamy. But she's like, oh, look, it's just all I can do. So yeah, it's really interesting to hear people so much, you know, want that. It's like, I want someone that will be my only everything and only want me. But it's like, but have you seen that done in many situations? And I personally haven't seen a lot of people be successful in that strategy. But yeah, it's really interesting to kind of see people battle with those two things at the same time.
I've seen, I think, zero people be successful in that strategy. And it's almost like, this is how it's got to be. Well, this is going to suck the rest of my life.
People always use their grandparents as those examples, is what I think is really interesting. They're like, well, my grandparents did it. It's like, but anyone now, like, you know, it's always like, oh yeah, like my great grandparents were together for 80 years. And it's like, things are very different these days. And I think, you know, it's like when you look around you, like, yeah, I haven't got anyone in my life that's been long-term monogamous and successful. You know, and that, you know, it's evidence in itself, I suppose.
So, Greg, do you like to hear the details of Kate's dates?
Not really. No, no. I'm like, same. It changes, and sometimes I'm more comfortable with it. But no, it's not a particular turn on for me. Like, I suppose the thought of like her fucking someone else isn't something. But like, I love that she's had fun, or like, you know, want her to enjoy herself. But it's more about her than the situation with them. So yeah, that's where I think I try and lean into that part, to like, I want her to be happy. I want her to feel desired. I want her to, you know, get what she wants from those interactions, but it's not really in the detail of her being with other men.
Yeah. Interesting. So, but you guys have done together stuff, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Threesomes, foursomes or something like that.
Yeah. And look, it's hard. Like, it's still difficult at times. And like, I think anyone that's been involved in this kind of lifestyle, like, you know, the times when you get all up in your head and it's hard to kind of reverse out of that when you're in a bit of a tailspin. So yeah, look, that happens. And it's just one of those things, I think, where, yeah, you just kind of learn to figure your way through it. So, yeah.
What you guys were different. I think April, you don't really, you're not interested in the details and hearing it, seeing it, knowing all the information.
No, I don't, honestly, I don't, the sex details don't bother me. It's, and we define flirting differently. It's the intimacy. Like he likes to have a girl sit on his lap and cuddle her and stroke her hair and kiss on her. I loathe seeing that. I love that he loves that because he's like that with me. And I know that he loves that. So I want him to have that. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah. And then Scott, you enjoy hearing, seeing details?
Yeah, well, it's always about the connection for me, especially when it comes, it's always fine if it's another woman.
With me?
Yeah, with you, right. But if it's another guy, for me, I need to have established a connection with that guy myself. Like, we have some sense of understanding of each other, and I get the feeling that he respects the situation and that, you know, he doesn't, that this is my person, that he's borrowing for a little bit. In some sense,
or you mean
I mean in the group situations.
Yeah.
For me to be able to watch it and enjoy it, which I do most of the time, it's because I have established some sort of respect with the guy, some sort of bond with him. And if that's the case, yeah, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy watching if it's a group of four, or on the rare occasions it's been more than that. You know, I can be as involved or uninvolved and just have a blast watching the show or being part of the show.
I think the respect thing, now that you mentioned that, it's something I've thought about as well. There was a couple of guys, like we've met with a couple of guys, you know, and I've gotten to chat to them a little bit. And it's the ones that I felt like I have ended up having some conversation with that I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Like I feel like they're respectful. And it's the same word that comes up for me, where there was a guy we'd met that he'd been non-monogamous. I think he had a partner. And I came away from that saying, okay, look, I'd be super comfortable with him. And I think it is that respectful piece that, you know, we've been in club situations with guys that didn't feel respectful either to me or that I saw how they were with her. And that's probably the times when it's been the hardest, is that. And yeah, so I think I resonate with that a little bit, is that, yeah, it's sort of they need to feel respectful. And I think that's by hearing details of her solo things. When I know that that might not be what is going on, I think that's when it's harder. So I think it's, you know, yeah.
A lot of events that we go to, we prefer the extended events, like the 4, 5, 7 day event. Yeah. And when that happens, it's much easier to do what we're talking about, where you get to know somebody. You might spend a day or two chatting with them about, you know, their life and getting to know them. And you start to really feel like, you know, these are people I can be friends with, regardless of whether we played ever. And once I feel like I have that kind of, that's just easier to do over a 2, 3, 4 day period than it is at a one night. And so the best connections and best sessions we've ever had with other couples have come, have come from these longer events where we've really had, we've been able to take our time.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to experience. We've only ever had one night parties. Like we're going to OSS tonight and it's just like, we're going to be there for probably 4 or 5 hours and then that's it. You often don't see those people again, especially because we live like 2 hours away from this city. So it kind of makes that hard, but that kind of brings us quite nicely to talking about this 7 day event where we get to actually experience that for the first time. So I would love to essentially ask you the same question I asked you when I first hopped on the phone with you guys, with like, please tell us more about hedonism and being at a lifestyle resort and the whole like clothes rule, no clothes rule, the like just the whole deal.
Yeah. So Hedo, first of all, it's like Disney World for adults. It's amazing. It's a beautiful resort.
Disney World.
Disney, please don't sue us.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah, I should bleep that out. It sits on 43 acres in Jamaica. So in the resort's kind of split in half. There's what they call the nude side, where it's nude mandatory. So there's a swimming pool where they have like parties during the day and a swim up bar, and they require you to be completely naked there. The other side they call is clothing optional, but they call it the prude side. And
I feel like there's so much shame in wearing clothes with that name.
Right, I know.
It's just like a flip of the entire rest of the world.
Yeah. So you can, you know, wear, go naked or wear a bikini, whatever you want.
You can wear a suit. Side. You can wear a suit on the beach if you want to.
It's just absolutely beautiful. All inclusive. They've got a playroom. So every night they have these elaborate parties, themed parties. They have their own entertainment crew, and it's
phenomenal.
The entertainment. And we've not been to other resorts, but we've been told by other people who have that it's the best entertainment at any of the lifestyle resorts they've been to. I mean, it is so sexy, so erotic. And then they have these like glow nights, and every night has a theme. And then the playroom is almost like this. They turn their spa into the playroom at night. So it's open air.
Oh, okay. So this is like where you can get treatments during the day.
Right.
And then at night, everyone's fucking on those same treatment beds.
Well, no, they have, but they bring in different beds.
Yeah,
oh, okay. I was like, oh my God.
They change it. Yeah, they change it out.
They change the sheets.
Yeah. But it's like open air, and it almost looks like a Grecian bathhouse. It's just beautiful.
How big is it? Just to give people a bit of perspective of like, how big is the room?
It's not a room. It's multiple rooms. Some of it's outside. Some of it's inside. There's like a little dungeon area that's enclosed, and that's probably, I don't know, 40 feet long by 20 feet wide or something.
Yeah, there's multiple rooms. But
how many beds are there?
Oh, gosh. Probably 40.
Oh, wow. We're going to be in for a shock.
There's so many. You go in, there's a main area that probably, maybe there's more than 40 beds, probably has 30 beds. And then you can go off. There's a dungeon room, you know, with the St. Andrew's Cross and all kinds of things in there. It's all red. And then there's probably four or five other playrooms.
A little plunge pool. I mean, it's just, you can go and be very, very visible to everybody there if you want to, if that's your thing, which is kind of our thing. Or you can kind of find a little private spot in there and do your own thing. But the nice thing about this resort is if you've ever had any interest in something other than just pure monogamy, even if it's just watching other people, this is the perfect place to do it because if you want, you can go over there to the wildest part. Now you got to literally walk to it. You can't just stumble upon it. You have to intentionally go there. And you can see all kinds of crazy stuff that you can tell stories for the rest of your life about. Or you can disappear over to the, quote, prude side. And it's almost like your own private oasis over there. There's very few people there. You can recoup. You can relax. You can be clothed if you want to. So
and there are no children.
No children.
That's a major fuck.
Yes. You can make it your own adventure. It can be very erotic and risque, or it can be, you know, just sort
but
of.
But then there's mild. So much to do on the resort. Like they have tennis courts and pickleball courts and kayak snorkeling. There's a private island that you can kayak and paddleboard to. I mean,
we've taken crews over on paddleboards and kayaks to that private island and then made the group hike to the backside of that private island where there's this little isolated beach.
Totally private.
And we do a workout out there. And then everybody, to get the sand out of their crack, we all strip down naked and like wash off there on the beach. And it's just a fun place. If you're not too hung up on the nudity stuff, it's a fun place to go.
How many people are typically there?
I think there's 280 or 288 rooms. So, you know, we're going to have, if it's sold out at our event, we're going to have just shy of 600 people there. So it'll be, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is it typically couples?
Mostly.
Yeah, it's mostly couples. Probably 95%, maybe even a little higher, couples. They do allow singles, and then they do allow thirds as well. Ooh. So if there's a throuple that wants to come, there's
thirds. That's cool. That's interesting.
We've seen throuples. We've seen single women, single men.
Everyone's very respectful. Yes. Consent is, you know, a huge priority. You have to, you know, and they don't mess around. If somebody messes with someone without consent, they escort them off the property.
Yes.
So safe, that's very so cool. Big on safety. And we've been there 3 times and everyone's so respectful, so kind. The staff is everywhere and they're just very attentive staff.
Well, one of the things she's always said is that she was treated much more poorly in her 20s at normal clubs.
Oh yeah, I was groped more without consent in my club, in the clubs in my 20s than I've never been in a lifestyle club or a lifestyle resort.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whether you want to answer this for your event or just typically, but a vetting process? So I've seen a difference. I've been to a couple of different party groups, both before meeting Kate and now after. And there was in both of those, there was a difference. In one was very heavily vetted. You had to have an interview and or referred in, versus the one we go to now is much more open. So what's the process, I suppose? Like, can just anyone, you know, decide to go to hedonism, or is it actually a vetting process? So yeah, whether you want to talk specifically about your event or not.
Yeah, so there's no vetting process. I mean, this is a public resort, and so they're not, I imagine there's some rules against stuff like that. In a private club, you can get away with that. But one of the things is going to, so you can have anything, and you will see any and all ages, body types, nationalities, sexual orientations. It's all represented there, which is beautiful. At our event, it's called Be Better at Being Bad Week. And the whole premise is for us to teach people about health and wellness and fitness, sexual health and wellness, hormones, yoga, meditation, mindset. And then there's going to be like technique classes on how to be a better lover and different, you know, bedroom athletics, we call it. But because this is going to be the tagline for this event, it's the fittest party in the lifestyle. We expect by default it'll act as a filter, and this will be a little bit younger than normal and a little bit fitter than normal, just by the nature of the event itself. And that's what the resort, one of the things that excites them, is they're expecting the same thing. So should be a lot of
talking about nutrition and CrossFit and like that kind of stuff, which I think is super exciting. Because I think, you know, that obviously aligns with multiple values that I have that often are quite separate, which is funny because I think if you approach it holistically, then your health and your fitness is just as important as your relationships and your sexuality. But so the week in January, it's the 6th, which is a Saturday, to the 13th, the following Saturday. What's the schedule kind of looking like? What have you guys organized so far?
So the schedule is a little bit tentative because we're still working on exactly who all the different presenters are going to be. We have almost presenters. Yeah, I think we have them. They're almost all locked down now. But what we've been doing is waiting until we know we have everybody for sure that's coming and exactly what their topics are going to be. And then we'll start structuring a very granular schedule. But we know there's going to be keynote speakers every day. Somebody like one of your topics is going to be nutrition. And but other people are going to talk about sex and hormones, or we have a psychedelics expert. You know, a lot of these parties, I don't want to, you know, call anybody out. But
hedonism has Hedo Weedo, where they sell cannabis and psilocybin. So we're bringing in an expert who is an expert on sex and psychedelics, and she's going to do a workshop for everyone. So
this is like my dream. This collision of like training on a beach, doing CrossFit, talking about food, having sex, and psychedelics. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, is this heaven?
Amazing. And then parties every night. Yeah, we have our themes for the parties already on our website. So people, they like to shop early and start getting their outfits and stuff like that.
Yeah, they encourage you to dress to dress for the theme. And I would say most people do to some extent. Yeah. Some don't. So, you know, if that's not your thing, you don't have to dress to the theme. But We do hope that there are people out there that listen to this that have never been to anything like this and consider themselves monogamous, but maybe have some curiosity. This would be the perfect event to go to because you don't ever have to do anything you don't want to, but you can experience whatever it is that you hope to experience. It's really up to you to make the trip whatever you want. And we think it'd be a perfect trip for people that
really is a safe place to explore things that maybe have been on your mind or we do something, we'll be doing something every day. And we do this on our private events for Naughty Gym. We do mimosas with April and shots with Scott. And so any of the newbies, we kind of divide the husbands from the wives. The husbands meet with Scott, the wives meet with me. And we did this at Hedo last time. And we had probably about 20 who it was their first time there. Some of them have never been in a situation or a setting like this before, have not opened their marriage up before. And so it was just a place to share your vulnerabilities, your insecurities, talk them out in front of people who are sharing the same concerns, but also having now a connection with these women and the guys having a connection with men who are in the same boat, so that during the week you can go, oh, hey, Kate, I remember you. I'm kind of struggling right now. And you kind of had a friend. And so it just, it really was a beautiful thing to see them like the last day, like high fiving each other and like had the great time. They're going to be back in January.
Yeah, it's it really is like a camp type experience. You know, I don't know if you guys ever went to camp as a kid and you leave and it's time to leave and you don't want to go. You hate to leave this place when it's time to close up shop, but it's so much fun. And we have people that are good friends of ours that go to these types of things all the time and never play with anybody else. They just like taking their relationship into this erotically charged environment and letting it affect them. And, you know, they go back and just have great sex themselves because they're so excited. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for people, either experienced or not, to come have a great time and do some fun competitions and hang out with somebody.
I always say that to people about visiting parties and you know, probably the same scenario you're talking about, because to organize a threesome or, you know, bring someone into your house or whatever, like, it's really hard to back out of that if you do have those fears come up. Whereas you go to a party, it's like you can play with someone for 5 minutes and be like, hey, that was really fun, thanks, like I'll see you later on, and just dip out if you're feeling uncomfortable. So I think it's perfect for people to experiment in those environments, because it can be like, oh, do I like this, like a little sample of the ice cream, you just try it, you're like, nah, not that one, and then you can just try some stuff, and there's no pressure like there is if you have someone come over to your house and there's a whole event built around you all having sex together, right, versus it being just being able to sort of dip in and out of different scenarios and different things to see what you feel comfortable with and what you don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah, sometimes people are worried they're going to get mauled when they go in there. Yeah. And people probably will come up to you and
you might, but consensually.
Right, yeah. You have to ask for it. But people are going to flirt with you, and that's what's fun with it. They're super nice, complimentary. Men are so complimentary in this environment to women. Talk about, hey, you look beautiful. Oh,
it's boosted my body image, because I get like conscious of being muscular and big and not having amazing gigantic boobs or, you know, like those classic things. And I've become so much more confident just being in these spaces, because men really appreciate someone who's trained. Like, it's unreal. I feel better about my body having been to some sex parties than I did prior. No matter how many compliments Greg gives me, I'm just like, oh, it's really nice hearing you from guys. They're like, wow, you have a great figure. And like, God, your body is amazing. And I'm just like, it comes at you from all angles. And it's also, there's something about being in that environment, because I'm way more open to it. I think of people like, you know, if I'm passing through the airport or I'm working or if I'm at a cafe and someone's like, hey, nice biceps. I'm like, ugh, get away from me.
Looking at me. Yes.
No.
I'm the same way. I've also found that though with the women and the lifestyle, that's what I think has helped me even more than the men paying attention, is the women being complimentary. And the women, there's very few catty women that, I mean, I'm sure there are in the lifestyle, but I have met the highest quality women and friends. And that was the biggest thing I think I didn't expect, was just how genuinely kind they are and accepting. They're not jealous. They want to get to know you as a person. There's no competition. And I expected it to be kind of jealousy competition, like with these women fighting over these men. We've not encountered that.
Yeah, I haven't had any women fighting over me. I'll say that.
I think we're taken.
I'm sure they do behind the scenes, Scott. I'm sure it happens.
I have not caused a single fight that I'm aware of.
Same as what you're saying, April. Like, I've had more men compliment me probably in sex clubs than, you know, anywhere. And like, even I think that just breaks down some of those barriers as well. Like, I'm straight, but you know, you'll be walking around a club and a guy will come up and sometimes it'll be to both of us. Not hitting on me, just compliments. Like, guys coming up just being like, you guys look amazing. Like, you know, you can tell you train, like you look after yourself. Like, and it's like, oh, thanks, man. Like, have a great night. Like, and it's such a really nice, like, cool environment. It's it's really, I think it's great. Like,
it's hard to explain to people. Everybody's scared about taking the clothes off in front of other people for the very first time. But I'm telling you, 5 minutes after it happens, it is the best experience. I mean, it's just, it's ego boosting, it's freeing, and you'll never want to go to a regular resort again.
There's something about being vulnerable like that, you know, and I think ironically, that's the thing that is the biggest barrier for people to just make the move. It's too scary. Like, it's too vulnerable. It's too risky. But literally what's on the other side of just saying, fuck it, I'm just going to make myself vulnerable and take the risk, is all those good things. And I think, you know, I think there's some similarities in CrossFit communities or gym communities that have that, you know, we suffer together and we do hard things and you can connect over that stuff. It's similar, but perhaps on an even deeper level where, you know, you're exposing yourself to something that is contradictory to mainstream society. It's a non-monogamy. It's kind of on the outskirts. It's just like, it challenges you in so many different ways. Yeah. And then you layer on the being naked in front of people and doing things that are just like, you couldn't even imagine ever doing that in front of people, and the confidence that you get from having just taken the risk and having been vulnerable. And then, you know, I would have to say, it sounds like being at a resort like this where you can talk it out with those same people the next day. And we actually did that a little bit in Melbourne. They would put on a party, a private party at someone's house, and then do a brunch the next day. And the connection the next day was unlike anything else I'd ever experienced. It's like you were just connected in a way that, you know, you're just not connected to other people. It was like you'd been naked and having sex together and watching and, you know, having these interesting conversations or connections or whatever. It's a totally crazy experience. And I think what it sounded like when you guys were explaining what it's like to do something over multiple days with the same group of people, it's kind of what happens when you progress as you start attending parties. And so it's almost like, it's not that you accelerate that process. It sounds like you just get to do it all at once, rather than for us, it's like we went to one party and then we were able to go to another one like 4 months later. And then we were able to do one 2 months, and then it was another 6 month break. And it's like, you want to take these steps forward, but you're almost controlled by the constraints of an event happening and being able to coordinate your life to get there. It's like, that's a structure that's hard to change. Whereas in the resort, you get to go through the progression of, maybe I just want to watch first. Maybe I just want to have sex with my partner then, and I'm okay with people watching. Maybe then the next step is like, I want to kiss a girl, but I don't want to do anything else. And then the next step is like, okay, maybe we incorporate a girl further. Maybe it's private though. And then we do it in front of people. It's like, there are all these different progressions that you want to make. And in this resort or 7 day experience, it's like, I just imagine that the conversations that you would have with people and the ability to share that experience and the ability to kind of go through it with other people would just be really, really nice. Like, it would just be a really cool way to do that progression, which happens anyway, in an environment with a whole lot of other people who've already done it.
Yeah.
And probably other people who are doing it for the first time as well.
One of the things we're going to do, we haven't announced this yet, but for any of the women that are really attracted, I'm going to be there to offer up my progression services. You know, I'll just step in, whatever you need.
Just thought of it.
It's such a good host, Scott.
it doesn't even cost extra. It just comes with
it. Amazing. Well, we actually have got a code for people that are looking to, and I would recommend, if you're coming from Australia, book your flights now. I've been looking at them. In January, prices are really expensive to get to Jamaica. So we are actually planning on flying return to Denver and spending some time in the US and actually going from Denver to Jamaica, because it was much cheaper to do it that way, which is good. So if you're looking at booking flights and accommodation from Australia or the Southern Hemisphere, just shop around a little bit, because it seems like getting to Jamaica in January, maybe it's because everybody's already been buying tickets and they're really popular because they're trying to go to hedonism. But you guys, get onto it now. The code that you can use for me is KateBBBB. So KATE and then 4 Bs. And that's going to support us as well, which is really cool. It's been really nice to come up with a thing that allows us to participate and be supported with you guys really like taking the wheel on that. So we really appreciate that. And it would be really freaking cool to have people from the community that listen to this podcast, that follow CFK, that have been like watching Greg and I go through this, and actually meet them in person. And I know that there's so many people that, because we're public about it, reach out to us, but it's always messages, you know? So it's like, this would be a cool experience to meet more people on. And I know I'm really excited. I don't know if you can tell by the speed of my talking, but get on it. I'll put some links up. It'll be all over Instagram. And then for you guys, please tell us where we can get more access to Naughty Gym and more information.
Okay, so you can go to naughtygym.com. You can find links to Be Better at Being Bad there as well. You can find us at Naughty Gym on Instagram, Naughty Gym on Twitter. I think that's it.
Yeah, we're excited to see you guys get in an environment you've never been in before. We got multiple days in front of these people, and we may
just well, it's going to be new for us as well, right? Like, I think sometimes it's easy to assume that we're like seasoned pros because we talk about it on a podcast or we're public about it. But man, I'm kind of still a newbie to parties. You've been doing it for longer, but even non-monogamy, like we've been together, we'll be together for over 3 years by the time we're in Jamaica in January, but we're fresh meat, man. Like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. So please come along for the ride.
Well, again, Scott's offering his services. If you need comfort, let me know.
If you need an apprentice, Scott, let me know.
I need an assistant. Yeah, you'd be great, man.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that broadcast is